Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. I've got to get awake enough to turn the mic on before we can even go from there. It's great to see you out today. Spring is here in Yazoo, and you never know whether it's going to be hot or cold, do you? Today is one of those cold, gray days. But it's sure nice and warm in here, and it's good to have you with me, and we welcome you. And if you're watching live stream, good morning. We're glad you're here and a part of this time together. Today we continue considering a personal plan for our time alone with God. And as we think about what we've already learned, a plan for our time alone with God begins with preparation. Preparation is that first step where we listen for God's voice. And it continues with the second step of waiting on the Lord, allowing Him to love you, to search you, and to show you. That's very important as we approach the Lord for our time alone with Him. And today we're going to introduce and consider a third step in our personal time alone with God. And that third step, in a word, is confession. Confession. Now let's stop and put confession in context with this plan. When you and I first remove the distractions from our lives and we start listening with our ears and with our heart for the voice of God, and when you and I spend time waiting, allowing God to first of all just love us, and second of all to search us, and third of all to actually show us what He wants us to understand, it naturally follows that there may be things in our life that God says, you know, this isn't as it should be. That leads to confession. He brings to mind something in our lives that displeases Him, that is a sin. And the natural and appropriate thing to do for the Christian is to confess that sin immediately. That is the third step in our personal plan for time alone with God. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about confession and how it's a prayer killer. And we brought to our minds a particular verse, Psalm 66:18, which says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We can turn that around to say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, I will not hear from the Lord. Does that make sense? That's faithful to the Scripture. Not only if we regard iniquity in our heart and it's not taken care of by confession, will we not be able to expect God to hear us, but we also will not be able to expect Him or us to hear Him. So let's talk about confession this morning. There's some things I think it would be appropriate for us to just jot down or make a mental note of as it relates to confession. Number one, you and I are never above the need to confess sin in our lives. We never get to a place where we're too mature, we're too growing, I mean, we're too long in our fellowship with God to be above the need to confess any sin that comes to our life. I want us to think about David. You know, David was the king of Israel. He had risen to the highest height. He is no longer a shepherd boy watching sheep, following the Lord and writing poems and prayers to God. He's not just a warrior who has killed Goliath. He has progressed beyond shepherd, beyond warrior, to the level of king of Israel. He is the highest level he can ever hope to achieve in his life. That didn't put David above his need to confess sin. If you were to turn in your Bible to Psalm 51, in fact, let's just go there. In Psalm 51, we see a prayer that was attributed to David, the king of Israel. And if you notice at the top of that prayer in Psalm 51, there is a description in many of our Bibles. Here's what it says in my New International Version. Psalm 51, for the director of music, a psalm of David. When the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, a lot of us probably have heard that story, how David committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of his soldier Uriah. And after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he tried to hide the sin by having Uriah come home and stay with his wife because she was pregnant with David's child. Well, when Uriah would not spend the night with his own wife out of reverence and loyalty to his fellow soldiers and went back to the battlefield, David still was trying to cover his sin. And so he had Uriah brought to the forefront of the battle line, where he was killed in action. And so after he was killed in action, David took Bathsheba as his wife, and he thought he had covered up the sin of adultery in his life. They would just assume that this child was born after David and Bathsheba were married. But God didn't buy that. He knew the truth, and he sent a prophet named Nathan to confront David with his sin. When David was confronted by the prophet Nathan of his sin, he was moved to confess his sin. And if you read this psalm, Psalm 51, this is a psalm or a prayer that David wrote confessing his sin to God. One of the most powerful confession prayers in the whole scripture. And this illustrates, you all, the fact that no matter how high we go, no matter how long we've walked with God, we never are above the need to confess sin if it enters our lives. Does that make sense? That's extremely important for us to remember as we think about a personal plan for time alone with God. There's a second thing I think it's important for us to remember about confession. Be honest with God about your sin. Be honest with God about your sin. He already knows it. I want to tell a little story that just sticks in my mind as I think about this particular principle. There was a father and his son, and they were about to go into the orchard of their neighbor where some apples were ripe. As the father and the son were about to enter the apple orchard of their neighboring farmer, the father walked with the son to the middle of the road that separated their properties. And just before they stepped into the neighbor's apple orchard to take what was not theirs, the father looked to his right, the father looked to his left, and then, as he was about to take a step into the orchard, his son tugged on his shirt sleeve and said, "Dad, you forgot to look up." That little boy knew something about God that his daddy didn't. God knows our hearts. And so any attempt on our part to hide our sin or to be hiding it from other people, we're just We're just fooling ourselves, aren't we? Because God knows when there's a sin in our hearts. And so it makes sense. If God already knows our heart, what benefit is there to be dishonest with Him? Just confess it. A third principle that I think helps us as we think about confession: the Holy Spirit will make you aware of your need to confess sin. The Holy Spirit will make you aware of your need to confess sin. I want us to go to Psalm 32. And we're going to actually read some of this particular psalm. This is another psalm of David. And what I want us to do is to take those first five verses and let's notice what it says. And as you hear me read it, I want you to listen and look for the particular verses that help us see how the Holy Spirit makes us aware of any sin that we need to confess. See if you can pick out the verses where the Holy Spirit is making David aware of his need to confess. All right? So let's start. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Do you see evidence in that reading of the Holy Spirit making David aware of his need to confess to God his sin? What particular verse indicates that David is under the conviction and the awareness of the Holy Spirit about his sin? What verse points that out? Maybe there's more than one. What do you say? Verses 3 and verse 4. Would y'all agree with that? Y'all, when the Holy Spirit makes you aware of your sin, there's an old-fashioned word for it: conviction. Conviction. And David gives a description of conviction that's classic and very clear. Notice verse 3. When I kept silent, in other words, when I didn't confess, look what happens. My bones wasted away. My groaning all day long. Your hand heavy upon me. Strength sapped. Y'all, all of those are descriptions of what it means and feels like to have the Holy Spirit convicting you. You just feel miserable, right down to your bones. You don't feel strong and alert and healthy in your relationship with God. In fact, you feel pressed down on by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Y'all, that is a blessing, because if God did not convict us and make us miserable, we would not have an awareness of our sin, and we would be prone not to confess our sin. So, does that make sense? Now, I want to make a statement here. I don't want it to be misconstrued, but I do want it to be understood. In some personalities, especially those who are extremely conscientious people, there can be a tendency in some extremely conscientious Christians to somehow never get out from under that feeling of their sinfulness. They have already confessed it to God, and yet they still carry around a guilt for a sin they've already confessed. I want us to understand something. When you have already confessed a sin to God and you continue to feel oppressed about that sin, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. That's your adversary, Satan. You understand what I'm trying to say? The word Satan means accuser. Satan is the accuser of the Christian. And he likes to take the past, the forgiven sins of Christians, and throw them back up in their face, and throw them back up in their mind, and make them have an artificial Satan-induced guilt about it. We cannot fall for Satan's accusation. If you have confessed, God will forgive and remove that guilt. If it lingers, that's Satan trying to beat you down and oppose your peace with God. Now, there's a very important distinction between the Holy Spirit's conviction of your sin and Satan's accusation of a sin already confessed and already forgiven by God. Did I hopefully make that clear? Because I know that in some extremely conscientious people's lives, they will have a tendency not to release the guilt after God has already forgiven them. They are somehow still they're guilt-ridden over a past sin. We can't go back and change the past. Once it's confessed, God forgives it, cleanses us of it, removes it, and He will bring peace. But sometimes our adversary will come at us and make us feel less than because of something in our past. Don't fall for Satan's accusations, but do listen to the Holy Spirit's conviction. I hope I made that clear. That's not in most people's personalities, but it is in some. It is in some. That tendency to just hang on to the guilt. All right. So you're never above the need to confess. You need to be honest with God about your sin. He already knows. And the Holy Spirit will make you aware of your need to confess your sin. Here's a fourth observation to keep in mind about confession. Sin unconfessed deceives you. Sin confessed cleanses you. Let's say that again. Sin unconfessed deceives you. Sin confessed cleanses you. I'm going to encourage you to go in your New Testament to the book of 1 John. Right before Jude and Revelation, there's a series of letters attributed to John. And in 1 John chapter 1, I want to call your attention to two verses, 8 and 9. One describes the reality of unconfessed sin, and one describes the reality of confessed sins. See if you can tell me which is which after I've read it. 1 John 1, beginning with verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us, or cleanse us, could be said, from all unrighteousness. Verse 8, what's that talking about? Is that talking about unconfessed sin or confessed sin? Unconfessed sin, that's right. And verse 9, is that talking about unconfessed sin or confessed sin? Confessed sin. You see, there is a very clear contrast that John paints here. If we say we have no sin, if we deny our sin, if we refuse to admit and confess our sin, then the only thing that's happening in us is that we're deceiving our own selves. And the truth isn't in us. But if God reveals our sin to us and we confess our sins, then it says God's faithful and He will definitely cleanse our sin. He will forgive us and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to do that. I think that's extremely important. So what are we saying here today? What we're saying as we think about our time alone with God, there's an old saying that I think wraps up our thought on confession. Confession is good for the soul. Have y'all ever heard that? I grew up hearing it. Confession is good for the soul. It may not be the sweetest tasting medicine, but it'll make you better. Does that make sense? Sometimes to get better, you've got to have something that's not so pleasant. None of us want to confess our sin naturally. None of us want to admit we're wrong by human nature. But if we'll take the medicine and get honest with God and honest with ourselves and take the bitter medicine of confession, why, it's good for your soul. It'll make you healthy. It'll make you happy. And so, as we think about our time alone with God, we begin by preparing, don't we? We're listening for the voice of God. We're saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And second, we wait on the Lord. We allow Him to love us. We allow Him to search us. We allow Him to show us. And when He shows us a sin that needs to be taken care of, we take that third step. We confess that sin immediately to God. This is crucial in our plan for our time alone with God. Without this, we could interrupt our connection to Him. But with this, we keep that connection strong. So I thank you for your attendance. And I thank you for your consideration of this step. And this week, as you spend time with the Lord, let Him love you. Let Him search you. Let Him show you. And if He shows you a sin in your heart that needs to be dealt with, confess it to Him. And He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us a way to keep our connection with you strong in prayer. We know that your word is true. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, Lord, to remember that and practice that every day in our time alone with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.